You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, welcome to everybody here this morning. I said already a nice extend a welcome from those that have come far and wide, those that might be here for the first time. We're in the Beatitudes. We're halfway through our Beatitudes. So hopefully you'll pick up where we've got to so far. I try and do a little bit of a recap each week, so you should be able to understand where we're at. But this is actually quite an exciting part. We're halfway through the words that Jesus was speaking to his disciples about having a different attitude to living in the kingdom of God. And actually, if you want to turn to that in Matthew 5, if you want to see where we're at, we've had an introduction to the first four of the eight Beatitudes. You'll look and say, well, if you count them up, there's one more extra at the end, and we'll pick that up when we get there. Most of them say, blessed are those, but you'll notice the very last one actually says, blessed are you, which is obviously different from blessed are those. So we're going to break this down. I don't know who likes structures. I like structures. I like to understand how things are put together. And scripture is generally written in certain structures. It falls into certain literary formats. And that helps us sometimes understand what the Bible is actually saying, which we don't get it upon first read. One of the things I like, I don't learn many big words, but sometimes there's words I really like. And the chiastic structure, I just like the word chiastic. I don't know, it sounds really good. It's probably because it's a bit like a sandwich. That may be why I like it and why I remembered it. But the chiastic structure, when we get those structures in the Bible, you end up with a bit of bread, you end up with the meat in the middle, and you end up with a bit of bread at the bottom. And what you find is the point of a passage sometimes is right in the middle, and the bits either sides make up the rest of the sandwich, but they actually reinforce each other. They're kind of like mirror images of each other. If you really like big words, that's called an alliteration or introverted parallelism. There you go. That's one to chew on. We see in the Beatitudes that it's topped and tailed in verses 3 and 10. If you look in Matthew 5, 1 to 12, you'll see in verses 3 and 10, it says right at the end, this is how we're going to look at the pattern here this morning. It says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So actually, if you look at that, we've got a little bit of bread that's going on here, top and bottom, a bit like the chiastic pattern. However, our eight attitudes that we're looking at, the Beatitudes, are split into two halves. As we finished up last week, it has a reference to righteousness. So if you look at the end of verse 6, you will see it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And if you look at the end of verse 10, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. If you've got keen eyes, you will see that the first three attitudes we've looked at actually speak about our emptiness. It speaks about what we need to become like in order to live in this kingdom of heaven. Again, a recap, if you're just joining us this week, the last few weeks, if you look at blessed are the poor in spirit and so on, if you look at those first few as we go through, it talks about our character, our attitude. What should we be like? And the word poor really translates better in that beggarly format. We need to almost become like a beggar, recognizing that we're spiritually poor, that our sin separates us from our loving Father, and this should make us mourn, which was the second attitude. We should mourn our separation between us and God's. And then that meekness, having that Holy Spirit character change in us. Meekness is something the Holy Spirit transforms inside of us. We keep short accounts with each other, accept correction without flaring up against each other or against anything that's being taught. The first few attitudes don't speak about being full. They actually speak about being empty. Of course, that makes sense, because if we recognize that we're empty, if you're sat here this morning and you haven't had breakfast, you are going to be hungry. Particularly if you saw the picture of the breakfast I put up last week. You want to be full. If we recognize our spiritual emptiness, and we're trying to fill our lives with all of these things of the world, stuff. I'm told I'm not allowed to say stuff, but I think we actually fill our lives with stuff. We've got to recognize that we're empty. And then Jesus' words make total sense in verse 6. Blessed are those then who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you get it? In this first half, if we recognize we're spiritually poor, if we empty ourselves of all the things that we think we actually need, and then we are hungry for God, he comes and meets us in that need. There's blessing, it says, for those that recognize their state before God. Recognize that state, grieve over it, and don't try and justify it. The beauty of this is we receive what God gives to us, and then you will be full. Just think about that for a moment. You should have got a bookmark on the way in. I put some stuff on there. I must admit, the printer didn't print it quite as well as I'd hoped. It's a little bit dark at the top, but hopefully you all got a bookmark. And actually, what I've got are these two things on this bookmark. The first part there was talking about what's it like to be blessed. What is blessing like? If you came in through the side door, you have to stick your hand up and get a bookmark. Do take one away with you. What is blessing like? It's to have that inner peace, that quiet contentment and joy in the knowledge of being right with God. This is what being blessed is like. So this week, we're going to move on to the second half of the Beatitudes, if it were, the next three. And it's a complete switch up. It's completely different to what it's been before. This is an outworking of being filled up. Remember I said before, it's not a pick and mix list. And actually, if you only came to the first few here and you kind of go, well, actually, Darren, you so far got to be empty, I've got to be poor, I've got to be all of these things. You kind of get to a place where you go, oh, it's not really very uplifting. We need something a bit uplifting. And Jesus says, hang on a minute, when you recognize who you are, when I've come and filled your life with the stuff that it needs to be filled with, now we're going to go and do something. And there's an overflowing and there's an outworking. And this is where we start in our second half, as it were. Verse 7, Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And in the coming weeks, we're going to see, if you read on a bit further, that there's an overflow from this. There's an overflow from showing mercy. There's an overflow from a pure heart. And it's not just an overflow from being peaceful people either. The outworking, again, is that we're going to be peacemakers. So how does this second set of attitudes or beatitudes end? Let's just see where we're heading with this. If you look down at verse 10, it's really clear. And it's good to have a heads up. If you live as these beatitudes describe, it says then there will be persecution for your righteous actions. Don't expect the enemy to leave you alone. Remember we said last week, what's the enemy's manifesto? He wants to destroy the kingdom of God as much as he can. He wants to take as many souls with him as he can. He wants to cause disruption in churches. He doesn't want churches to be getting on well. Certainly not living as these Beatitudes were talking about at the beginning. So hopefully, if you can see this structure, it is helpful. And as you go back and look at that, you'll be able to start to put that together in your mind. I'm not very good at remembering stuff. Certainly since I've hit my head, I'm absolutely dreadful at remembering stuff. So I like patterns. I like to see that. Maybe if I picture it as a sandwich with two slices of meat, that's the way I do it. How are you going to do it this morning? The first 4 weeks, we recognize we're empty. How we empty ourselves of the things of this world, and then we come to God, and what he fills us with is going to be a kingdom mindset instead. So the next 4 weeks should be wonderful, should be a joyful outworking. We're citizens of heaven. We should be overflowing with, and our overflowing should be with mercy this week. And I think the key thing to remember as we just wrap up this initial introduction here this morning, the key thing to remember about being merciful or being a merciful person is that you have to recognize you're broken in the first place. So you'll start to see how these Beatitudes hold together. Jesus shapes us, and now he's going to set us on a path this morning. So blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And a good place to start is to ask you, what is mercy? Any thoughts? Okay. Any other thoughts? Have a think for a moment. Someone said mercy. Go on, Martin. Compassion. A compassion? Redemption. Yeah. Restoration. God, you're awesome. You are. Have you been reading my notes? Oh, okay. Let me ask another question. Is mercy like grace? Because someone mentioned grace. It's like mercy and grace. So think about that for a moment. Think about what you think about mercy. Is it like grace? Are mercy and grace similar? You've got to be forgiving to show mercy. Okay. Okay. Brilliant. Thanks, Martin. Mercy is a human thing. Grace is from God. Let's have a quick look, because it'd be good to head down the right path with this morning, just because it could be confusing which way we go. So while mercy and grace maybe appear to be similar, they do have slightly different descriptions. So let's have a look. I really want to keep it simple, so this is not a complicated thing. One slide each. Mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. So it is that deliverance from justice. That's why I said, had you been looking at my notes? That was a pretty good. God not punishing us as our sins. That is God showing mercy to us. He delivers us from that judgment. But grace, and I'm sure if you know the little acronym, it's either God's riches or God's whatever at Christ's expense. Yeah? Grace is God blessing us. I love the word when I think of grace, the word lavishing. I don't know if you like Marmite on toast. I lavish Marmite on toast. I love it. For some people here, you're not going to go that. It might be jam or peanut butter, whatever it is. But you know when you make that sandwich, you go, whoa, just, you know, that extra chunky slice. And God's grace, is it just lavishes on us. It's not like we get a little taste leaving us wanting more. God's grace is lavished upon us. Lavished his riches upon us, even though we don't deserve it. Wow, I just love that. That's the gospel. That's the good news this morning, isn't it? We receive mercy from God and we are delivered from judgment if we accept Jesus as our Savior. It's then by grace that we receive salvation, forgiveness, forgiveness of sins, a life which we cannot purchase. I prayed it for the kids earlier. It's God's free gift to us this morning. I don't know how you feel about that, but just for a moment, when we think that, when we catch that, does that not want to make you worship God? This amazing grace. Just for a moment, maybe just close your eyes and just think about God's grace in your life. Think about the things he's lavished upon you. Think about his wonder, his beauty. Just breathe that in for a moment and just suck that in. Wow, God, you did all of that for me. I just think that's special. Just draw that in. Breathe that in for a moment. God's free gift lavished upon us. Merciful to us. Oh, I'll have a bit more of that this morning, would you? Just a little bit more of that. Any other thoughts on mercy? Anybody say, what does the Bible say? That's what we say here at Limbrick Wood. It's a good thing. What does the Bible say? Well, we'll look at a few examples that Jesus has given us. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to skip on to Matthew chapter 9, we're going to be in verses 10 to 13. You will recognize a lot of the passages this morning. I hope there'll be nothing new to you here. Matthew 9, 10 to 13, it says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. But go and learn what this means. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So, quick quiz for you. Where's Jesus quoting from? Does it say in your Bibles? Have you got any footnotes? It's from Hosea. Woo! We're back in Hosea. We've just done Hosea. And here is Jesus. He's quoting from Hosea. Hosea 6:6. If you don't want to flick back to it, I'll put it on the screen. Hosea 6:6, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Now, Hosea, if you visit us here this morning, was our last series that we were on. It's also our motto verse, which is printed up above on the wall there, Hosea 10:12, calling us. This year, we've been looking at our soil. We felt God says 2017 has been our soil. I won't bore those with it again, but if you read 2017, the 2 looks like an S. We got OI, and if you flick the 7, it looks like an L. 2017 is like soil. God is calling us to break up our unplowed ground. And actually, our Beatitude verse is our motto verse. It's a sandwich. Look what it's got. It's got a bit of meat in the middle. Break up your unplowed ground. But what's the bread? Righteousness. You see how it works out? Sow righteousness and have his righteousness showered upon you. I love these patterns in Scripture. What are you expecting from the things you are planting? Are you good gardeners? Do you expect things to grow? See, the lesson Jesus is saying here is don't be like the hearers of Hosea's words, who are just like the dew on the grass. It's there for a short time in the morning, and then all that's left is burnt offerings. Empty husks. God doesn't want us to be this quick flit. He wants us to be alive in a restored relationship with him, which is this great showing mercy to each other. If we want to go beyond religious sacrifice and church as being a religious experience and onto real mercy, we've got to get our hearts involved. The Pharisees just didn't get this. There was a law to be followed. So how could this Jesus, if you flick back to Matthew 9, how can this Jesus be eating with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus has broken all of the ceremonial laws here. Where was their mercy? What was it? God's mercy is not punishing us as our sins deserve. The Pharisees are so caught up here in law and sacrifice, they couldn't see what was about to happen. They were focused on minute details of the law and missing the much bigger picture. And again, if you want to flick on in Matthew, it's very good in Matthew. We're staying here a lot this morning. Matthew 23, you might know that as the 7 woes to the scribes and Pharisees. Matthew 23, 23 to 24. Jesus' words again, this is what Jesus was saying. Verse 23, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides," he says, "you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel." What's Jesus saying here? Look, you religious people, you pick up on all the little things. You're nitpicking all the time. Things that actually probably won't make a difference to you at all. Like picking out a fly or a gnat out of your drink, straining it out. And yet the huge things that would kill you, like consuming a camel, well, you're fine with that kind of stuff. And as a result of this, the scribes and the Pharisees have become unmerciful. Jesus says, don't neglect the weightier matters of the law. So what is mercy? Mercy, Jesus says, is one of the weightier matters. Blessed are the merciful, we're saying this morning, we're reading. Remember back to last week, I said we're at war. This is a spiritual war we're in. There are spiritual forces at work that are busy and extremely active and intentional on destroying the kingdom of God. And as I closed last week, the question was, what are you full of? What fills you up? When I asked the question, what makes you satisfied? And I asked that question, I said I'll ask it every week. What makes, you've got to ask yourself this question, what makes me, me? Think about yourself for a moment. What do you feed upon? What do you feed yourself with? What makes me, me? You see, our reading this morning is the story of the Good Samaritan. He found a man who had been mugged by robbers, and he was dying on the side of the road. If you want to pick that up, it's in Luke 10, verse 33. We'll look at this little bit in a little bit more detail. And you can note the question that Jesus says right at the end. He asks the expert of the law, Luke 10, in verse 33. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have. Jesus says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Remember, the priest or the pastor, the worship leader, they'd all passed him by. The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. So I ask you that question again. What makes me, me? If you were to look at that story, which person would you be in that story? We know who you want to be. But what makes me, me? Now, I don't know if I asked you that question and you thought about hobbies. And the trouble with asking questions, if I pick on anything in particular, you're going to think I'm having a go at you. So I'm not having a go at anybody this morning. It just amused me, some of this. But there's nothing wrong with hobbies at all. Having intentional rest. The ministers' conference is coming up next year. And it's actually going to be intentional rest. It's going to be to gather all the ministers together and say, come on, guys, we need to rest. But we need to be intentional in our rest. So rest and downtime is absolutely great. And this is what amused me. So I'm not picking on anybody this morning. But if we get things the wrong way round, what is God backwards? Okay. Now, a lot of people have pets, and there's nothing wrong with this, so I'm not picking on anybody this morning. I can pick on myself. For me, my hobby at the moment is photography. If you're sending my stuff online, I love taking photographs. I seem to be in the right place at the right time quite a lot of the time. I love entering into photographic competitions. For other people, they love to run for some reason. Who likes running? Go on, be honest. Fantastic. Oh, man. I'm amongst company of people who don't understand runners. What is this thing about running? I honestly don't get it. But that might be your thing. Some just love stretching out in front of the TV. And again, there's nothing wrong with any of this downtime. But if they start to consume our lives, they can take over the weightier matters in life. And the reason I think God wants us to pull this out this morning is because it's really subtle. I think the enemy comes in really subtle ways. You know, it's nothing wrong with my hobby. But if I said to you, oh, sorry, guys, I can't be here next week because there's a competition and I'm not going to be here next week because it's Sunday. And by the way, I can't do midweek either. Actually, for the next 2 weeks, I can't do that. It's only for a little while, but I'm just going to go and do those things. And suddenly that hobby becomes a weightier matter in my life. And the enemy's really subtle. He'll come in and twist that around. And suddenly that little hobby, well, actually, coming to church now, it's going to mean I've got to give that up. And suddenly I look at that as, well, that's sacrificial. Well, I'm giving my hobby up now to come to church. And I think suddenly we just get the thing slightly the wrong way round, and it flicks in our mind, and suddenly church is the thing that maybe we put on as a jacket if we feel like it. The enemy's cunning when he gets in. And I'm not having a go at anybody this morning. So please, if you're sitting there feeling burdened by this, it's not me having a go at you. I pray it's the Holy Spirit. Just gently challenging us. What are the weightier matters? What are those things that we are pursuing? We broke bread last week. It was communion service. Proclaiming that Jesus is coming back. And I always find communion services just to be that real sharpener. There's still a lost and hungry and broken world that needs a saviour. We sung that song, everybody needs compassion. There's a whole world that's out there that doesn't necessarily know that. We are privileged people if we know the Lord. We've found a love which a lot of people have never, ever experienced. But I ask again, have the things of this last week, month, or year that you've either fallen into or that you've taken on, have they changed your desire for the weightier things in life? What are the weightier things? Jesus says, it's mercy. Has that desire to see souls saved evaporated from your life because you're just too busy with other things now? Do they take priority over coming to church? I don't know about you, but when I was preparing this and I was just thinking about God's grace and mercy and that moment of going, oh, I just want to breathe that in, like the air's different today because God is here. I just want to breathe that in. Have you come to church this morning and you've breathed that in again and gone, wow, I just want to be there all the time? I hope it felt good to do that this morning. I hope it felt good. Have you forgotten, though, what it's like to worship God and have his love for you? Let's just pick a few key things out of this story with the Samaritan. Jesus' story about the Samaritan highlights what mercy looks like. There's some really good things. If you've got your bookmark, you could leave this in here and you can go back and look at it later. What was the Samaritan's mercy like? The first thing the Samaritan did was he saw that there was a problem. He then had a heart of compassion, and actually it led him to do something. His mercy, the Samaritan's mercy, offered help, and he cared for the person's wounds at his own expense. And then the Samaritan's mercy overcame what were religious traditions. Now, you can unpick that a little bit more if you want to go into the history, but generally speaking, the Samaritan would have been at odds with potentially this person who was probably a Jew just by the nature of the journey that he's taking. You see, these actions, Jesus says, bear in mind this is a story that Jesus has made up, shows mercy. And he says, we should go and do likewise. Now, again, it's not to tell anybody off, but I want you to think about these things and give me some feedback on this. Someone said to me a couple of months back, we don't offer God enough worship. We come for an hour on a Sunday morning, if people manage to make it. Is that enough? Is that enough? Would you like other opportunities to come and worship God midweek? Would you love to come and sit in his presence every day, if it were possible, to gather as his people and just worship him? Does that fill you with excitement this morning? Does that make you go, oh, that'd just be awesome? Or you think, oh, hang on a minute, but I've got this to do and I've got that to do. I couldn't fit it in. Our beatitude this week is in the second half of our blessings. These are the ones, the outworking ones. What is your outpouring to God? Jesus says it starts with mercy. So I ask you this question. You can take this away into this week, and I'll be praying for you this week about this. Do you see the situations around you where God has placed you? Each of us is in a unique place, whether it's in the workplace or the home. And in that, are you like the Samaritan? Do you see the need? And if you see the need, do you have that heart to care, to help, even at your own expense? What is your outpouring to God? Are you willing, as we closed last week, Romans 12, to love your enemy? You've got your bookmark. It's got a bit at the bottom. You can read the bit at the bottom a little bit easier. What is the life that we want to live? To live a life that is dedicated to and pleasing to God, free from hypocrisy, full of love and grace, full of wisdom and discernment. I've added a bit on the screen this morning. And mercy. Oh, what a life. Who wants to live like that? I've asked it most weeks. That's my goal. That's a life goal for me. We've said about that. Dedicated to and pleasing to God. That's how I want my life to be. Free from hypocrisy, full of love and grace, full of wisdom and discernment and mercy. If you want God to shape you this week, that's why I gave you these bookmarks. Take them back and read them and say, Lord, I want to be like that. This is how I want to be. Showing mercy. Mercy, it delivers us from judgment. Being merciful calls us to live in a different way from that of the world. And of course, God is a God of justice. I'm not saying he's not a God of justice. People will get what they deserve. But the balance comes from not being like a Pharisee in this situation. God is also a God of mercy. So how do we be merciful? What if we're shaped by God? If we're hungry for God, if we hunger and thirst after God, as it said at the end of our first set of Beatitudes, if we are walking with Jesus as Saviour, filled by his Holy Spirit with meekness, then I think you're going to know his will, aren't you? You can ask him, because you're walking with him, and he's going to tell you. What does the Bible say? We like to say that. What does the Bible say? Sometimes Scripture is silent on things. And I believe this is on purpose as well. Why? Why is it on purpose? Because I think if we had lots of rules, we would become rule followers, wouldn't we? We're very good at that. Just give me the manual and I'll be fine. But what God wants is Christ-like followers. Christ-like followers. Those following Christ, exercising faith and trust. If we are people exercising faith and trust, it's going to make a particular kind of person, and actually more collectively, a particular kind of people. People are going to see we are different. There's a subtle change in the language as well. If you look at the Beatitude again, verse 7, Matthew 5, verse 7. It says, blessed are the merciful. Not blessed are those who know how to be merciful. Here's a manual. Boom. It's different. Blessed are the merciful, not those who know how to be merciful. So, are we to be merciful in every situation and let everybody get away with everything? No, that's not what Scripture's saying. Remember, God is a God of justice, but sometimes it's in the way that justice is delivered that speaks something about God's character. God is a God of love and compassion, as we mentioned earlier. That love and compassion can still be displayed in us. And I'll pick a hot potato just to throw it out there and you can come back to me afterwards. A lot of married couples or those who are about to get married, hot potato, how do we discipline the kids? Is smacking a child ever right? Oh, I can see a few faces prickle up around the room now. Spare the rod and spoil the child, some might say. And that might be the case on some occasions. But sometimes the father's arms need to give a merciful hug instead. Yeah, you got that wrong. Yeah, we know that deserves punishment. But you know what? I love you so, so much. And actually, it's those arms that you need on this occasion. Even though punishment is due. It's a difficult one. We need wisdom in that situation. You can come and tell me off afterwards if you think differently. But it is about that balance, isn't it? So I'm going to wrap up with this morning, following on from last week. What do you fill your week up with? When I read the final part of the Good Samaritan story, I was really struck by the care given by the Samaritan. He had to go away for 2 days, but he said he was coming back and would settle up anything that was owed. And this got me thinking, particularly with breaking bread last week, about Jesus. He's coming back. He will be no man's debtor when he comes back. And that got me thinking, there may be some things in this life we feel that we're giving up. Coming to Coventry, away from the coast. I love to sail. Oh, I love my boat. I'm me when I'm on the water. I'm just at one with the wind and the waves and oh, that's me. But God gave me a call. And do I say, I'm sorry, God, I love that. That sounds good. But actually, I'd rather sell my boat. Sometimes I think I would rather sell my boat. No, I don't. It's a balance, isn't it? God will be no man's debtor. Don't feel that you're giving stuff up just for the kingdom. Look, we might be giving things up, and sometimes you might give things up for those that you love. And we go, well, I'll make a sacrifice here for the ones I love. But actually, we need to make sacrifices for our enemies, That's when we can really make the difference. That's where there's the potential to save souls. So I don't know if there's that person at work or wherever it is, there's a family issue going on at the moment. There might be a costly sacrifice and you think, I'm just going to miss out. Are you going to make that decision for God this week and say, do you know what, I'm prepared to see his kingdom come. I might really want that, but this is more important. Mercy is a weightier thing. What is being merciful like? Micah 6:8 says this. I think I've got it on the screen. Yeah, Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. You see, we're walking with God. It's a relationship. It's a partnership here. And when you meet God at the end of time, our beatitude this week says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. How's God going to measure our mercy? I think it's going to be more like our meekness. It won't be how many hours you've spent on being merciful. There's me card. Look at all the mercy. Yeah? I think it's going to be something entirely different. God, it has been said, will probably look at our health charts. And he will look at the evidences in our life. How has his word and his spirit shaped our lives? If you want to talk about meekness and mercy, how does that change your life? It's not a clocking in thing. And I'm not going to play with words necessarily or unnecessarily, but if this helps, maybe you want to hear him say, well done, good and healthy servant. We know it says good and faithful. But actually, we want to be healthy as well, don't we? And he will complete that ultimate healing in us. If you want to stick your bookmark in somewhere, if you haven't got it already, we've got another bookmark from last week. Ephesians 2, 4-7. These are the words I want to close with this morning. This scripture is just beautiful. You can take this away and meditate on this. Ephesians 2 and verses 4-7. Says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Wow. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.